Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Ion Travel with Peter Greenberg, that's me, ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the app today.
This spring, if you'd rather spend time enjoying your lawn instead of trying to keep it alive, there's good news. TruGreen is the easiest and most affordable way to get a beautiful lawn. All you have to do is water and mow, and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and even some things you might not even think of. They'll do all of it, while you can do literally anything else. With True Green, you could have your lawn looking as good as a putting green. That's not hyperbole. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. True Green offers a satisfaction guarantee, and they have a verified best price promise, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people guaranteed.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
This is the Ion Travel Podcast with CBS News travel editor Peter Greenberg.
Hi, everybody. Peter Greenberg here with another edition of the Ion Travel Podcast. This week from Los Cabos in Baja California Sur in Mexico. This month marks the 10th anniversary of one of the most perplexing and frustrating mysteries in the history of commercial aviation, the disappearance of Malaysian Airlines Flight 370. Back in 2014, the plane on a scheduled flight from Kuala Lumpur to Beijing disappeared from radar at about 1:20 in the morning of March 8th, never to be heard from or seen again. And now, a decade later, what do we know? And is there any hope of ever finding that plane and exactly determining what happened? Florence DeChangy, a journalist and author of Disappearing Act, has the latest. And then, there's an airline you've probably never heard about, but they're making great inroads on some very popular routes, from Los Angeles to Las Vegas, even Los Angeles to where we are right now in Los Cabos, and it's about as close to flying private as you can get. It's called JSX, and CEO Alex Wilcox talks about a new option of getting from point A to point B. First up, Florence DeChangy.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
She's the Le Monde correspondent based in Hong Kong. The name of the book, The Disappearing Act. Florence DeChangy, welcome again. And nice to have you back on the show.
Thank you, Peter.
So, I mean, this is one of the most unexplained, frustrating stories I've ever covered. Because at a certain point... Yeah, because at a certain point in any investigation, with such few exceptions, someone's going to stumble onto a clue. It'll be the smoking gun. It'll be the linchpin in solving the puzzle. But in this case, we weren't looking for a needle in the haystack. We couldn't even find the haystack, right?
Yeah, if you were looking in the southern Indian Ocean, no chance, indeed.
I know, and one of the deepest oceans in the world. And of course, we've had a couple of pieces of evidence literally wash up over the last couple of years. That was that wing flopper that showed up on Reunion Island in the Indian Ocean that was discovered, covered with barnacles. But then not much else since, except in the last, I think, what, 3 weeks, there was a report from an Australian fisherman. Why he waited 10 years to tell us this is news to me. But there was a report from an Australian fisherman who was fishing with his nets and claims that he netted a huge part of an airplane wing somewhere where the plane could have, emphasis on the words, could have gone down, and he couldn't lift it to the surface. And so what do we know about that?
No, look, honestly, Peter, I think by now this thing should not be called a mystery anymore. It should be moved into the box of a big state secret. There is no, you know, from the beginning, I've always said this story is not just incredible. It is not credible. And as far as I'm concerned, based on, yes, the years of investigation that I've done, I have completely eliminated the official narrative that they have tried to feed us with, which is the one of the crash in the Southern Indian Ocean. By now, and I know it's, for people who haven't like read my book or looked at the evidence, it's difficult to believe, but I am adamant there was no crash in the Southern Indian Ocean. And as far as the debris that have been found first in Reunion and that has been studied very carefully by the French authorities, I have also dismissed this flatron as a piece of evidence. As for all the other, you know, jetsam, flotsam, that it's an American person who keeps finding debris, all kind of, pieces of, which may look like plane debris, but by the way, there were crashes in that part of the world years ago. They have no solid validity. The only other real piece, credible piece, which was also significant, a bit like the flapron, which was found a few months later, has been confirmed, but with no evidence provided. The flapron, some evidence has been provided to explain why and how they linked it to MH370. And when you look at it closely, you find many reasons to actually disbelieve that the flapron ever was part of MH370. So as far as I'm concerned, if there is one thing I know for sure, is that the plane never crashed in the Southern Indian Ocean. That's one thing, one step I've done in the direction of the truth.
Okay, so do you know where it crashed, or you just don't know where it didn't crash?
Yes, I mostly know where it did not crash. I know it's frustrating, but I think it's very important for the truth to emerge. Just as you said before, you know, first you have to eliminate what has not happened, and what has not happened. I mean, yeah, it's the plane did not crash in the Southern Indian Ocean. And another thing that I have, I think, highlighted very strongly, and I'm equally adamant, is the fact that the Captain Zahari Shah, was actually a very competent, a very trustworthy, basically the best guy you could have in the cockpit in a situation of crisis. So, as you may have noticed, these are the two elements that keep coming back every 3 to 6 months when there is a new story pretending to bring new light on this so-called mystery. Each time it will reiterate either the fact that the plane crashed somewhere in the Southern Indian Ocean, which is not true, or the fact that the captain has been somehow involved. Because these are the two components of this fabricated narrative that I'm basically fighting against. But as far as I'm concerned, I'm just a journalist. You know, I do my best. I think that once the family and the public opinion has understood and is fully aware of the fact that the official narrative is fabricated, there should be an uproar to request from the authorities that they who know share the truth of what happened to this plane, and most importantly to the 239 people. It is not acceptable to be told such, you know, enormous lies, basically.
And when you think about it, governments have been quiet. The manufacturer Boeing has been incredibly quiet.
Exactly.
And in the case of wrongful death, this particular case ranks as one of the lowest insurance payouts in history because in the absence of evidence, you can't litigate negligence. So the families who lost loved ones, they received very little compensation, pathetically little compensation. Like I said, I wanted to talk about at least my theory, not of where the plane crashed or why, but perhaps how. Because if you're flying on autopilot at 38,000 feet, and let's assume the plane continues along whatever path it was on. At a certain time, and with no contact with the outside world, at a certain moment, it's a basic law of supply and demand, it runs out of fuel. And if a plane runs out of fuel at 38,000 feet, forget all the movies you've seen, it doesn't behave the way you think it does. It starts a slow descent, which then continues into a steeper descent, continuing to pick up speed, and then at a certain point, way before it ever impacts the ocean, the plane exceeds its aerodynamic limits and it literally begins to rip itself apart in the air. And so the idea that this plane, wherever it hit, hit intact, I think is not the case. Do you agree?
Completely. Yeah, for sure.
Which makes finding it even more difficult because there's no one big radar hit that you're going to find in one concentrated debris field. It could be anywhere.
Yeah, if it is if what you described is what happened, and the plane hit at full speed and full strength, then it's indeed a massive explosion that would probably reduce most pieces. Peter, I'm not very comfortable commenting on this because I'm not familiar enough. Because in the scenario that you describe, you would also imagine that the appendices, the wings would first come off the hull, etc. And so each of these pieces would have a different strength and impact on the sea. So
Correct. It's
not as if all in one hit and then really explode. So, I don't feel qualified to comment on your scenario. It's a possible one. You know, also for what you said, the plane being on autopilot, I always said that if it was really the idea of the plane and the pilot to simply disappear, it would have been much simpler to keep going on its where it was and keep going straight in a straight line towards the Pacific, because the Pacific is actually like three times bigger than the Indian Ocean, and it's actually even deeper. So what's very odd is this super complicated and sophisticated narrative that they created, where a plane did a U-turn that they can't even recreate when they tried seven times with the simulators and with all kind of different criteria, and then this U-turn going down. And I mean, the whole thing makes no sense. And indeed, if the idea was just to disappear the plane, well, just go straight and go and crash in the Pacific Ocean. Yeah.
Exactly. Well, going back to one more second to my scenario, we all remember the miracle on the Hudson, Captain Sully Sullenberger landing a plane on the Hudson River moments after takeoff. And what saved so many people on that plane was that when he landed, he had full tanks of gas, and oil being lighter than water, that plane stayed afloat, which allowed the rescuers to get there before it submerged. And of course, they were able to save the plane itself. But in a situation like this, if you continue my thought that he was already out of gas, when he hit, nothing stayed afloat. It just sank to the bottom. And that's makes the search issue so much more difficult because it came off the plane in my scenario at different altitudes and at different speeds. And but here we are again, 10 years later. So the question I have to ask you, and by the way, I'm not expecting a complete answer because I don't, you know, there's not enough information, but I have to ask it anyway. Here we are 10 years later, Florence. Are we ever going to find it?
We'll find the truth. We won't find the plane, but we'll find the truth.
And how do we do that?
I'm working on it. Watch this space. Next time you invite me, I will tell you more. No, I'm still working on it. You know, it's, as I said, it's not a mystery anymore. It's a secret. And when you say a secret, it means that some people know, and some people with a conscience and with a little bit of humanity and ethic and will speak out. It's not possible to keep such a secret for such a long time, and especially with the thousands of people who are suffering from it. If it was just a cargo plane and two professional pilots, we could forget and forgive. But in this instance, it's not credible in the first place, and it's not acceptable ever.
My thanks to Florence. And we'll be watching as the Malaysian government is now considering restarting that search. Now, imagine an airline where you just show up 15 minutes before departure, park your car, walk just about 30 feet into the terminal, and board the plane. Alex Wilcox has not just imagined it, he's operating it. JSX is a concept in short-haul flying that seems to be working.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/Wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/Wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Alex Wilcox. Alex, thanks for joining.
Peter, absolute pleasure to be here, and great to talk to you again.
So let's get back to the basics of what JSX is. You guys are really a hop-on jet service, right? I mean, you know, you just drive out not to a major international airport. You drive out to a smaller regional airport, park your car, walk about 10 feet. You don't have to be there 3 hours before the flight, and you just walk to the plane.
Yes, Peter, and you're mostly right. We are a hop-on jet service. That's what we call ourselves. And the reason we say that is because you can get from your car into the airplane seat within 20 minutes. You know, we ask our customers to show up 20 minutes before the flight, 40 minutes for international. We do fly to Cabo as well from Dallas and LA. And by the way, your friend and you should also know that we do fly to LAX, by the way, to Cabo and to Las Vegas. We're on the south side of LAX, you know, off of Imperial. But we do, in fact, fly from LAX as well as Burbank. Burbank is by far a bigger operation, and we fly to many more places from there. And we do, by the way, as our customers know well, have security. It's a privately, we do it ourselves. And small is beautiful when it comes to security, too. So we are at LAX, and we do have security. But in every other respect, you're absolutely right. It's a completely different kind of air carrier. We show up, we tell our customers to show up 30 minutes, 20 minutes before the flight, hop on and go. There's only 30 people on the airplane, so it only takes us a few minutes to board and to deplane. When you arrive at the other end, we take your bags off the back of the airplane and bring them right to the wing. And so you don't have to wait at the baggage claim. These are generally small. If we're at a major airport, we're at the smaller side, the corporate jet side of the airport, or we are, as you say, quite correctly, many smaller airports too, like Concord and Taos, New Mexico, and Destin, Florida, Opa-locka, Florida, not Miami International, Carlsbad Airport, not San Diego. But in some cases, like, you know, LAS and LAX, we do actually fly to the major carrier too. But it's a completely different kind of carrier. And we're in our eighth year of operation, well over a million customers, and the highest rated air carrier in North America, according to APEX and our own NPS score.
Yeah, but it is part of a TSA-approved security program, so nothing's being compromised. All right, so having said that, here's what I like about it. First of all, you got power outlets, you got complimentary snacks, and the best thing going, free Wi-Fi with Starlink, which Elon Musk may be out of his mind, but he's designed a great satellite system. That I'll give him.
Yes, yeah, he's SpaceX Elon have definitely created a game changer when it comes to in-flight Wi-Fi. I've got fiber at my house here in Dallas, and the Wi-Fi on board our airplanes is actually better Occasionally, some of our airport locations, the Wi-Fi or the internet will go away, and we'll get on the airplane to check our customers in. I mean, it's that good. And it works from gate to gate, and there's no login screen. There's nothing. You just get on you find the SSID. It says free JSX Starlink Wi-Fi. You click connect, and you're good to go. 2 megabits per second to your device for the entirety of your time on the airplane, and it's included.
And let's talk about the planes themselves, 30-seaters.
These are Airbus 145s and 135s, and they are originally designed for 37 and 50 seats, respectively. Most of our planes are Airbus 145s and have a one-by-one configuration, only 30 seats. There's 16 rows on the left-hand side, 14 rows on the right-hand side, and the right-hand side's got this little side table next to it as well. There's no overhead bins. That's the biggest difference between a commercial jet, you know, and a private jet, Peter, is overhead bins. If you got an overhead bin, you are not on a private airplane. So we've taken those out, which gives the cabin a big, spacious, roomy feel. So for your customers who are well acquainted with the regional jet version of the Embraer 145, for your listeners, this is a totally different bag. And this is a completely different feeling experience. So yes, a wide, lots of elbow room, nobody sitting next to you. Every seat is an aisle and a window, as well as lots of legroom.
So given the routes that you're flying, and in many cases you are competing on those routes with the major carriers, how are you on price?
Well, we are often less than first class on a commercial air carrier, and sometimes we're even equivalent to economy class. But we do tend, on average, to be a little bit higher. Our average ticket price is about $400 each way. The longer the flight, the higher the price. You know, New York to Florida can be up to $1,000 each way. If you're going from Boca or Opa-locka up to Westchester County or Morristown, same for Cabo. You know, it ranges between $400 and $1,000 each way, depending on day of the week and obviously market-driven pricing. But some of our fares can be as little as $259 each way. You know, Burbank to Vegas on an off-peak direction.
Wow. And you know, for those people whose time is money, that makes a big difference.
Worth every penny, of course. Yeah. That's what we save, you know, as opposed to spending 2 hours at a major airport. I was actually in Los Cabos last weekend, and I flew on JSX, and I checked some of our competitors, and they were saying show up 3 hours ahead of time to either LAX or Los Cabos for international processing. And we taught our customers 40 minutes, and I feel badly about that.
Well, let's talk about plane types, because you just announced you're about to buy 330 hybrid electric aircraft.
We are. We're not going to take them overnight. And there's three different models of airplanes that we have ordered. One is a 9-seat hybrid electric airplane. They're all high wing hybrid electric airplanes. That's what they have in common. They're not all electric, because I think that technology is far away. But one is a 9-seater. One is a 19-seater, which, as you know, is the biggest you can have before you need a flight attendant on board. And then one is a 30-seater, which is basically can replace our Embraer 135s on shorter routes. And so between the 9, the 19, and the 30-seater, we're very optimistic that at least one, if not two or three, all three will get built. But they are admittedly several years away. They're still in the design and manufacturing and certification stage. And so we're not going to be seeing them, you know, in the immediate future.
So how many years are we away from this?
You know, if it depends on who you ask. I think the optimistic people are saying we're about 5 years away. I think, you know, the pessimists are saying it's 15 years away. The great thing about these three platforms, the Heart aircraft, which is the 30-seater, the Electra, which is the 9-seater, and the Aura, which is the 19-seater, they're all essentially conventionally designed airplanes. And so there's no super new technology. This is kind of the Prius. You know, the first electric car was the hybrid, right?
Right.
That was successful and mass produced. And so I think, you know, probably somewhere in between the 5 and the 15 range is where these will start to get certified and produced.
And what's, you know, you speak about range, what about nautical miles? What are the range of these planes?
Yeah, great question, Peter. You know, in all electric mode, they're all about 200 miles. But when you turn on the gas generator, which will recharge the batteries, you know, in flight, they can all take off on full electric, by the way. So they'll be super quiet in communities and able to fly to airports that, you know, would otherwise not welcome this kind of service. You can go up to 900 nautical miles, depending on the aircraft.
Wow. So having said all that, what about frequency? Now, going to your current schedule, you know, the one thing that major carriers can always compete on, or at least in the past, especially if you're a new carrier, is they can come up against you and say, okay, well, we're doing 10 flights a day, you're only doing one, so we're more attractive.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair. And certainly in business markets, you know, frequency is important. But obviously, you know, one of the most profitable carriers in history, Allegiant, you know, they do a couple times a week in some of their markets. And so we do a lot more than that in most of our markets. But it varies. You know, we have high frequency markets, Burbank to Vegas. We can do up to 10 times a day in each direction, you know, on a Friday and on a Sunday, you know, 5 or 6 a day between Burbank and Oakland, Dallas and Houston. But more of our markets are 1 or 2 a day, you know, in terms of the longer markets, especially. But, you know, we'll go a couple times a day from Dallas to Boulder, Colorado, which is, by the way, the most convenient airport, 16 minutes from downtown. You can be in Coors Field in 16 minutes from Boulder, from BJC Airport, or up at CU if you want to go catch a Buffs game. So we have big plans for BJC, where we fly from Southern California, from Northern, and from Texas. Four different markets into BJC right now, including Las Vegas and Phoenix.
And from Los Cabos?
Los Cabos, we fly to Dallas and up to twice a day on the peak days, and also from LAX.
Wow.
And in fact, we fly to the Southernmore Airport, the one that's a little bit closer to downtown. It's MMSL Airport, San Jose International Airport.
And how are the majors taking to you?
Well, it depends who you ask. You know, two of our investors, our biggest investors, are JetBlue and United Airlines, and they obviously like us a lot because they've invested in us. Some of their competitors feel a little bit differently about us, and I guess you'd have to ask them. You know, some of these incumbent air carriers that are also based here in Dallas perhaps think differently about competition than they used to, and they now try to, instead of competing in the market, are now trying to compete in the legislature, try to get us outlawed because they don't like the competition. But I think we've pretty effectively beaten them back with the assistance of our customers, by the way. We set a record, Peter. The FAA asked for public comments when the airlines asked for the rules to be changed. And we set a record. 75,000 people responded to this FAA docket. These are dockets that usually get, you know, 50 to a couple hundred responses. We had over 75,000 people. 60,000 of them were already posted on the regulations.gov website. And I would say over 99% of those were extremely supportive of JSX's position. So we're not going anywhere.
My thanks to Alex and to Florence DeChangy. And my thanks to you for listening to this Eye on Travel podcast. For more conversations with the world's leaders in travel, as well as answers to your travel questions, be sure to rate and review this podcast wherever you happen to listen to podcasts. And for all the latest breaking travel news, just log on to petergreenberg.com.
The Eye on Travel podcast is produced by Amanda Morris and Anthony Protis Chung. For more content from Peter Greenberg and the Eye on Travel team, visit petergreenberg.com. Eye on Travel is a production of CBS News Radio.
If you like Eye on Travel with Peter Greenberg, you can listen early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. Before you go, tell us about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Survivor's back, and so is On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. And we have a twist, a new co-host, the winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares.
Hi!
Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.